Did want to share just a few announcements here before I get started. As usual, our figures from the morning service, we had 160 in attendance this morning with an offering of $11,591.74. There were 75 in Sunday school with an offering of $178. And just a reminder, immediately following this, we will have our special prayer meeting for our revival services. And also, if you're interested in going to the ladies' luncheon coming up and haven't signed up yet, this is the last night. Talk to Sue about that. And something new, there is now a sign-up sheet on the table in the foyer for Trunks and Treats. So if you'd like to sign up for a car or else sign up just to help in some other way, you're able to do that today. Now, in the theme of camp meetings and kind of rolling out of that, tent revivals and just that whole sort of meeting, changes happened. And then he talked about that. I mean, communities were impacted, cities, regions, the nation, there was revival there. Great revivals happened at these meetings. But it's not just because they had a great speaker. It's not just because there was this great music going on. It's because the Holy Spirit was moving and people responded. And I want to just talk about that a little bit. And the image that comes to me, you think of the Billy Sunday Crusades and that sort of thing, is people walking the sawdust trail to keep the extra noise down. We have fancy sound panels, but they didn't. So they had all this sawdust spread out in the aisleways to keep the noise down. And people, when the Spirit moved them, either for salvation or some area of commitment, at the end, the invitation was given, and they would walk down those sawdust trails and get that straight with the Lord. And so I just was laid on my heart that salvation, dedication, decisions, if we want revival, if we want to live a victorious Christian life, then we need to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit when He speaks, and then we need to act. We need to make decisions appropriately. And just 3 points I thought of making those decisions is they need to be punctual decisions, they ought to be public decisions, and they ought to be permanent decisions. And I'm going to be in a variety of scriptures. I'm not necessarily going to hold up for you all to keep up with me, but you can note them down or you might be able to turn there. But first, the idea of making punctual decisions. We come to the end of the service. An invitation is given. The Spirit prompts and says, yes, you need to take care of this area. The flesh, prompted by Satan, cries out, don't do anything rash. You're just caught up in the moment. We got, take it home. Let's think this thing through a little bit. The flesh cries out to consider it further. Sleep on it. But friend, when the Spirit speaks to us, that is the time to answer. That is the time to obey. The ways of God aren't our ways. Yes, in the rational mind, well, yeah, if you want to make a good decision, you need to weigh the cost. You need to sleep on it. You need to think of these things. But when the Holy Spirit moves in our hearts, we need to be supple to that. We need to answer it. It's not about making common sense. It's about obedience to the Lord. Joshua 24:15, at the end of Joshua's life, he's kind of saying to Israel, hey, we've come this far and my time has passed and there's more for you all to do. And he says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua doesn't say, hey, Israel, go back to your tents and think about this for a while. Israel, weigh whether you want to serve the God of our fathers or the God of the Amorites. He says, choose this day. Today is the day of decision. Don't put it off. Purpose it. And then affirm that decision every day. We make the decision today, but he says, as for me and my house, we will serve in an ongoing fashion the Lord. We make the decision today, but then we purpose that in our hearts from this day forth. In our lives, changes for the better, changes for God, they're not just going to happen. The natural trajectory of the human is a downward one. The only way we will draw closer to the Lord is by intentional decisions. And if we want to be in a position to answer the call of the Spirit, we need to put ourselves in a position for the Spirit to speak to us by opening the Word of God, by spending time in prayer, by being in services where the Word is preached that the Spirit may move. We need to be willing to listen to the Spirit and to answer those things. Galatians 1:15-16, Paul, in the early chapters of Galatians, he's talking about his testimony and his basically credentials as an apostle. And he talks about his Damascus Road experience And then he says, I conferred not with flesh and blood. The Lord gave him a revelation, and he didn't say, I better go to Jerusalem and check this out with the other disciples. The Lord spoke to him, and he said, yes, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. He went off into the Arabian desert for years. And eventually he did go to Jerusalem, and it was clear that what the Lord had revealed to Peter and Paul and the 11 and had revealed to him were the same. But his first act wasn't to confer with flesh and blood. And sometimes that's our response. I got to talk this out with somebody. I got to get somebody else's opinion. Should I really do this? Friend, if the Spirit speaks, we need to commit to obedience. Yes, there may be questions that linger, and there is a time to get help from a pastor, from a trusted friend. But the time to act is first. It's not to think these things out. I'll set up a meeting with somebody, and we'll go over this, and then maybe I'll choose. It's a punctual thing. Say yes to the Lord first, and then get the answers later. But I think there's something encouraging, but somewhat sobering in Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 13. As the author writes there, speaking of decisions and what we do for the Lord, Hebrews 3:13. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We're not just supposed to wait till Sunday and maybe we'll get a word from the Lord then. We're supposed to be seeking one from the Lord every day, and we're supposed to be sharing with others, exhorting, encouraging others, holding each other accountable, and we're supposed to do it while it's called today. And there's a warning that goes with that, lest you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Each and every day, because any time an opportunity, any time a calling of the Spirit is rejected, that's a chance for hardness to come into our hearts and lives. Once we say no to the Spirit in an area once, it's all that easier to say no to Him again. And then we just, even as a saved person, there can be areas of hardness in our lives where we say, no, Spirit, that's off limits. You can have what else you want, but that's something I will not give to you. In Sunday morning recently, we talked how the hardness of heart against the Lord is a dangerous, dangerous thing. Exhort each other and respond while it is called today, lest hardness of heart come upon us. Don't reject the Lord's calling. Secondly, public decisions. Now, of course, we know when we get saved, when we purpose something for the Lord, doesn't need to be at an altar. We don't have to tell anybody else. We can deal that in our heart with the Lord. But how often God uses either in a public service or just telling another person about these things to have affirmation of what He has done and affirmation to us following. I believe there is something to be said and something special for walking an altar, for walking an aisle, making a decision at an altar. Yes, you can make that same decision in your seat, but I think many of you would bear witness as I would. When the Lord prompts you and you step forward or something, that's something you remember. That's something when you struggle in your heart, the Lord will bring that memory in a special way and say, hey, you gave that over to me. Don't try to pick that back up. Now, there's the danger there is that we never let it become an emotional experience. True decisions from the Lord aren't made just because the flowing of tears, because we're all welled up. We've recently looked here on Sunday evenings in Hebrews chapter 12, where it talks about verse 16 and 17 about Esau. He was a profane person. He hated the things of God. And it said, for ye know how afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Getting worked up in a service and crying and sobbing, that doesn't make a change in life. It comes back to what we talked about, that intentional choice. Maybe it is an emotional one, but there has to be something deeper than emotion. We talked in Sunday school today of worshiping the Lord and singing, but we're supposed to do it according to knowledge. We have to do it according to what God is revealing to us. It's not just something worked up and emotional. It's in response to Him and His Word. James 5:16 talks about confessing your sins one to another. Yes, we don't need to go to a priest. We don't need a human intermediary between us and God. But how often have we wronged another person and we need to get that sin right with them? Or how often do we have that trusted person that can hold us accountable? It's one thing to confess to the Lord and then fall back into that sin, but I told so-and-so I was dealing with this, and he's going to ask me if I'm handling it or not. That we have that person to share these things with. And when we make a decision for the Lord, no, it doesn't have to be public, But a decision for the Lord is never something we should be ashamed about. The scripture talks time and again about proclaiming the Lord, proclaiming what he's done for us with our mouth. So there's nothing wrong with the public aspect if the personal aspect is backed up with it. Matthew 10:32, Christ says that if we confess him before men, he will confess us before his heavenly Father. There's a challenge there. That yes, we're saved and maybe we've handled that in our own hearts, but our duty then is to confess him before men. Those questions for personal revival that we're working through from that pamphlet and they're in the bulletin, that's one of them today. Are you openly and regularly confessing the Lord? He's made a change in your life. If he's saved you, do you let other people know? Once again, yes, he uses that to save other people, but God will use that as a measure of assurance in your life. If you're saved, but you never want anybody to know about it, Satan is going to use that, and he's going to say, "What did? Was that a real decision? Has you really been changed?" And that's between you and the Lord, but God uses public profession as a means of assurance to our hearts. Thirdly, we have punctual decisions, public decisions, permanent decisions. That when we make a decision for the Lord, that we don't just go to an altar and let it there, that it carries out through our lives. In the matter of salvation, 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." We talked this morning about the total cleansing of the blood of Christ at salvation. Being saved is an irrevocable change. Something new has happened. We shouldn't try to go back and live the old way. It's an eternal change that ought to be lived out daily. I'm sure many of us are familiar with Romans chapter 7, verse 15 to 25, and that's that kind of tongue twister passage where Paul's back and forth. I know what I ought to do, but I don't do those things, and I know what I ought to avoid, and those are the things I do, and I know the law, and the law works sin in me, and he wrestles back and forth. Friend, when the Lord puts something in our hearts, we can't make that a permanent decision on our own, but it's the power of the Holy Spirit within us. Emotional decisions, emotional commitments, they're not going to last. They're going to fall by the wayside. But when we truly repent before the Lord, remember, repentance is a change of mind. We confess to God. That means we say the same thing about our sin that God does. His Spirit gives us power. If we try to live the Christian life carnally, that is in our own strength, we are going to fail. But when we turn it over to the Spirit and obey him, we have power and have victory. That is the measure of true revival, of true decision, that it's a lasting change. There are churches, great mega churches, and I would say they preach the word, and they boast thousands of people saved. But you think in a community, if thousands upon thousands of people are getting saved, that should change things, shouldn't it? We think there's stories like when the Billy Sunday Crusade would come through, it would leave, but bars and taverns would close. People would be taking things back that they stole. There was a change there. If we have revival in our heart, in our church, and share that with the community, there is going to be a true and a lasting change. So when we make a decision, we shouldn't try to take it back. We need to live it out. Just a final thought here from Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 4:30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." The bottom line of all this is that God loves you. The Holy Spirit loves you, and he wants what's best for you. If the Holy Spirit calls to you, it's because he wants something for your better. We ought not say no. Don't resist him in making a decision, in expressing it, or keeping it. Because he loves us, but he hates our rejection, and that's what grieves him. To resist the Holy Spirit, it's going to bring sorrow to us. It's going to bring a loss of fellowship. It's going to bring guilt. But to obey is joy. It's closeness to the Lord. It's reward for us eternally. So in coming messages, as we look towards our revival services, be in prayer, be in the Word. Give the Spirit opportunity to act in you day by day. And when he calls, let's have punctual decisions. Let's have public decisions. Let's have permanent decisions. When the Spirit talks, don't resist. Don't wait. Don't try to reason it over with yourself. Don't try to hide it. Live it out publicly. Give control to the Spirit and live it out. Friends, in the coming days, weeks, months, will you commit to say yes to God? Whatever He brings to your mind, to your heart, will you say yes? Will you open the door for the Spirit to speak? And when He does, will you say yes in a punctual, in a public, in a permanent manner? Let's pray together. Dearest Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, for this opportunity to just sing Your praises. We thank You that we can do this, Lord, and we thank You for this body of believers that's gathered here. But I pray, Lord, that we would be soft to Your Spirit, that we wouldn't say, I'm saved and that's good enough. Pray that we would be always open to the Spirit's moving, that we would realize that He has the very best in store for us. So please, Lord, guide and direct. Help us to say yes to the Spirit as He calls. We love You and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Spirit's moving in your heart now. The altar's open as Denny leads us in our closing hymn.
612, He keeps me singing. You know, we've been singing tonight, and I pray that you'll just keep on singing all week long until He comes again. 612, let's stand as we sing. He keeps me singing.